Buy now and make no payments until fall. That's right. At Jeff Weiler's Columbus Auto Mall, drive today with no down payment and no payments for 120 days. Whether it's a car, truck, or SUV, why wait? Shop hundreds of vehicles, all with no payments till fall. Hurry into the Jeff Weiler Columbus Auto Mall, where the deals won't wait and neither should you. Find us on Gender Road or JeffWeilerColumbusAutoMall.com.
I'm John Batchelor. Professor Richard Epstein of the Hoover Institution is here. This is CBS Eye on the World. 40 years ago, I was a younger man, and I recall the Chevron case, not especially a vivid controversy at the time. This is during the period where there was upset about oil worldwide, having to do with the embargoes and the wars in the Middle East and the Cold War. It was the 1980s, and the Chevron case came through and sat there as fixed law, except for its uses over the last 40 years have to do with the power of the agencies, the executive branch's agencies. And the professors taught me over the years that those agencies have overstepped their bounds. Is that a polite way to put it, Professor?
Yes. The most recent illustration of this is the worst offender, perhaps, in history, Lina Khan. She issues this absolutely amateuristic point on the question about covenants not to compete, a hugely important issue. And then 2 days she goes into court and they say, sorry, lady, you don't have the power to issue general rules. You only have the power to decide cases. If she counts as an expert, we don't want any experts.
Chevron versus Natural Resources Defense Council. 6-3, the court decided that the Chevron case was not to be used anymore or to be qualified? How to regard the – is it canceled or is it amended?
Well, I would say it's canceled with a caveat. It's very clear that this thing is gone, but there is a second-tier decision, thoroughly confused in its own term, called Skidmore. And what that says is if you have a well-considered opinion written by an agency, it's entitled to respect, whatever that means. So there's no deference. What it means is it has a little bit more punch. But I think this is the correct way to think about expertise in general. If you've got an expert agency that really knows what it's doing and it prepares a report, which is absolutely good, they don't need any presumption. They just go there and win the case on the merits. They only need the presumption when it turns out that their expertise is sham or hollow. And that's the way it turns out. Elena Kagan, in what I thought was a mischievous dissent, said, well, everybody knows that Congress wanted these expert agencies to decide what's going on. And I said to myself, this is a woman. Has she ever read any of these agency reports to which she's prepared to give such enormous deference? And it, particularly in the Biden administration, there's not the slightest doubt that every one of these things are cooked from top to bottom. It's a disgraceful performance with Lina Khan, Gary Gensler, and the SEC has done this stuff. All the memos that were written about the cancellation of student debt by a man named Schroeder, they were terrible. They were beyond bad. And why were they beyond bad? Because what happens is there is no professional independence inside the agencies today. They're all at the beck and call of their political masters. And if the masters say jump left, they jump left and they write a report which reads left. And if they said jump right, there's a danger of going the other way. Now, why is this an asymmetrical problem? That is where it's worse with the Democrats than it is with the Republicans. It's because, generally speaking, the Republicans do not want to extend regulatory authority. So they don't want to do the kind of pyrotechnics that the Democrats want in order to get greater kind of control over a situation. So, for example, there was a case called Sackett, a misread by Amy Barrett earlier in the term, in which the question of what's the definition of the navigable waters of the United States, including the territorial seas? And they come up with the genius argument that it's land that's 600 feet away from the nearest warning body, that somehow or other, since it affects what goes on in the water, it is part of the particular water. That's just absolutely crazy. And so what you do is you have this case being drawn out for 13 years, and you see a picture of Mr. and Mrs. Sackett up there. It's dry land, and they have a pick in the hole, and they're told they have to leave this eyesore around because if they decide to put a house in there, it may trickle down 600 feet into the water and have a drop of waste that goes into the, I think it was Priest Lake. All of this stuff is just bizarre. And so you don't want to have this kind of deference with this kind of abuse. And you're not talking, John, about small things. If you can regulate a wetland and the marsh nearby, it's one thing. But if you can stop people from building within a mile of a house or 15 miles from the nearest water body, then what you're doing is you're having a genuine piece of environmental tyranny. And I think most of these characters realize that that was the kind of risk that you had. The problem is they still have to figure out what to do when they have to interpret statutes.
Justice Kagan says that this decision will cause a massive shock to the legal system. I think that's what you just said. How are they going to figure this out?
Well, it is a problem, but it's not going to cause a massive shock to the legal system. What you're doing is you're taking a situation now which creates massive shocks because you have radical expansions of power and flip-flops and so forth, and you substitute that for a smaller but very real problem, which is how do you interpret these statutes when it turns out that you have people who say, A, they're ambiguous and say exactly opposite things. That was what was at stake in the cases that they had. On the question of the Lope Bright case, there was a complicated statutory scheme. And one guy said, it's clear they cannot force these boats to pay for the guys who are coming on board. And the other one said, it's perfectly clear they can force them to do it. So what you have to do is to know enough about statutory interpretation to decide which of these two extreme biases is correct. And in order to do that, you really have to know the statutory schemes very well. One of the things to understand about administrative law is that it's adjectival. It's kind of parasitic. There is no such thing as administrative law without an organic statute. That is the underlying statute that regulates the field. And you look at these statutes, and some of them are beastly complicated in terms of the way in which they operate. How do you regulate rates under the Federal Reserve System? How do you figure out what the permissible levels of pollution are in an environmental statute and all the rest of that stuff? Well, if it's a pure question of law, the statute's very clear. Notwithstanding what Judge Kagan said, I'm going to read you the initial paragraph of the Administrative Procedure Act, by the way, which was never cited in Chevron, to give you a sense what's about. And just says it. To the extent necessary to decision and when presented, the reviewing court shall decide all relevant questions of law, interpret constitutional and statutory provisions, and determine the meaning and the applicability of the terms of an agency action. Does that strike you as deferred to a government agency?
No.
Absolutely categorical in its language. And there was a reason for it, which is in the earlier days, what had happened under the Roosevelt New Deal is that the agencies found that they were given lots of powers.
We have 1 minute, Richard. 1 minute.
The courts gave them too much power. And so what they try to do is to curb it back in. And the basic intuition that explains all of this stuff treated an administrative agency like it's a trial court. And that means it gets deference on facts. It gets some deference on mixed questions of facts and law, like what counts as a particular amino acid, one of Kagan's favorite. No deference whatsoever on legal questions. And so if you do the plain meaning of the statute, it's pretty clear that these guys have to learn what's going on in the organic statutes in order to get things right.
Professor Richard Epstein, a senior fellow at the Hoover Institution, teaches law at NYU and the University of Chicago. This is CBS Eye on the World. I'm John Batchelor.
You're listening to CBS Eye on the World with John Batchelor.
Buy now and make no payments until fall. That's right. At Jeff Weiler's Columbus Auto Mall, drive today with no down payment and no payments for 120 days. Whether it's a car, truck, or SUV, why wait? Shop hundreds of vehicles, all with no payments till fall. Hurry into the Jeff Weiler Columbus Auto Mall, where the deals won't wait and neither should you. Find us on Gender Road or jeffweilercolumbusautomall.com.
Craftsman Days are here at Lowe's with big savings on the tools you need. Save $100 on the Craftsman V26 Tool Power Tool Combo Kit, now at $199. No matter what the project is, Craftsman's high-quality, high-performance products empower you to build on. Visit Lowe's and check out the full line of Craftsman tools today. Valid through 7/9 while supplies last. Selection varies by location. Maximum initial battery voltage measured without a workload is 20 volts. Nominal voltage is 18.